Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we'd love to hear from you. A Bible question, some issue you're dealing with, a good time to call right now. 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, Peter was the one that gave the very first sermon to Gentiles. He went into the home of Cornelius and Caesarea by the sea, and he wasn't supposed to be there. That was against Jewish law, but the love of God compelled him to move forward and to carry out what God wanted him to do at that particular occasion. And so he preached, and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then at the very end, he gave an invitation. Well, it wasn't so much an invitation. It was merely a declaration. And here's what that declaration was. He said this to Cornelius and that entire household and all the folks that were gathered there that day. It says, to him, all the prophets bear witness. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. All the prophets of old bear witness about him. They said they bear witness that everyone who believes in him, Jesus Christ, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So we have the death, we have the burial, we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we believe that message, when we believe him, we receive something. We receive life, and here Peter tells us that we receive forgiveness of sins. So once we receive it, it's ours. That's why Paul would say, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, this is something that people have so much trouble understanding, grasping, fully believing. They think they just have received forgiveness for past sins, and that every future sin needs to be forgiven, and we need to receive that, and then we need to receive forgiveness the next day and the next day. But here it just says we receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Folks, if you're in Christ, if you have believed the message, you have forgiveness of sins. And Andrew, talk about a message. If people would fully grasp, if people would fully believe, what a difference it would make in their everyday experience, in their relationship with God, and in their relationship to others. I mean, this really is the door to experiencing life abundantly and free, isn't it?
Yes, it seems like we're relating to God as if we have a mortgage to pay off. We're trying to make those monthly payments. Then we start making them weekly at church in a service or a mass. And then we start trying to make those payments daily. And every time we sin, we feel like we owe God some sort of ritual in order to get forgiven and get cleansed. And it's like we're making a mortgage payment or a car payment. And what we need to remember is that Jesus paid it all. Yeah, we sing that in songs. We say, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And then 20 minutes later in the parking lot, we're begging God to forgive us for whatever thought we entertained. And, you know, while it's healthy to say no to sin, and it is, it's healthy to turn away from sin and say no to sin and trust Jesus about sin, we have to take that trust a bit further. We have to say, I'm trusting the cross. I'm trusting your shed blood. I'm trusting the once-for-all sacrifice, because 1 Peter 3 says he died once for all. And Hebrews 10 says he took away our sins and that he's not up there in heaven dying over and over again. I mean, if blood is the only thing that brings forgiveness, and if you were still needing more forgiveness, then that would mean that Jesus was up in heaven dying over and over. Every time you mess up, Jesus would have to hang on a cross again. And that's not happening. He said it's finished. He said it's over. It's a once-for-all sacrifice and a once-for-all takeaway. So, Bob, you know, when we start celebrating this once-for-all forgiveness, as Hebrews 10 says, by one offering, he's made us perfect forever. Well, that doesn't make us want to go out and sin more. It makes us want to go out and sin less, because I start believing I'm clean and believing I'm close to God. Then I start getting inspired and motivated to live an upright life, because this God that I now know, He has set me free. He's done wonderful things for me. He loves me. He likes me. He accepts me. He forgives me. And what is not to like about that?
Yeah. Well, that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. And great thoughts as we start the program, guys. Thank you for those. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. And if you're hearing the live broadcast at 5 after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast. So we'd love for you to reach out and reach into the studio right now and give us a call at 844-322-2742. Guys, you know, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at work in the hearts and spirits of everyone who has come to Him by grace through faith. But in many of us, that power of that truth is not fully realized. At Basic Gospel, we want everyone to hear, believe, and live in the finished work of Jesus. That's why Bob Christopher produced this series called It Is Finished, understanding that it is vital in helping us live free of fear, guilt, and shame concerning sin. And we want to say thank you to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month by sending you a copy. Just click Donate when you visit basicgospel.net and request your copy of It Is Finished. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. We have some calls on the board, guys.
Yes, we do. We're going to go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Melissa, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. I'm driving, so I apologize if it's a little loud, but I just wanted to ask a question and get some opinions on the Truth Project. My church started that teaching a few weeks ago, and I felt just a little, you know, funny about it. The first session, you know, it was pretty much fundamentals that, I mean, were all solid and I understood. And then the second session got into just some discrepancies where it felt like I wasn't real clear on if they were trying to say we have two natures. You know, the nature business is what kind of struck me as odd. I even reached out, you know, with an email to the person facilitating the teaching to get clarification, and it just really wasn't quite clear. I went to the third session, and it just seemed like an odd, it didn't seem real clear, and so I quit going, but I wanted to get just some insight on if you guys know about the Truth Project and what it is you do know about it, and if you think that it's sound doctrine or not, because it just didn't seem like it to me, so I quit going.
Well, I assume you're talking about I guess it's a small group curriculum that Focus on the Family has put out, really
yes.
trying to
uh-huh.
talk about worldview and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I exactly. just know of it by name and a little bit of what the purpose is. I've never worked through that, haven't talked to anybody who has. Andrew, I don't know if you've taking a look at the Truth Project, but you asked something about two natures. Do we as Christians have two natures? Do we have a sinful nature, and do we have a new nature in Christ Jesus? And Andrew, this is something that we definitely are in strong agreement on, that when we come to Christ, we just have a new nature. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we can't speak to an entirety of a curriculum, but I will say that the Truth Project has half a dozen teachers or more that come together, and anytime you decide something by committee, you may end up not projecting exactly what the Bible has to say on a matter. And, this is a very important issue. Do you have two hearts? Do you have two spirits? Do you have two natures? Do you have a white dog and a black dog, so to speak, fighting
exactly.
within you?
That's what they said.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, that's
that reference.
Yeah, so see, this is very popular and pervasive teaching, and it's just, on this issue, it's not biblical. I mean, Romans 6 says our old self died. Colossians 2 says we died with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says I was crucified with Jesus. And I need to know that so that I can count myself dead to sin and then count myself alive to God. I'm not supposed to count half of me dead. I'm not supposed to count half of me alive. I'm one person. I have one new heart. He took out my heart of stone. He gave me a new living heart. He made me one spirit with Him. So every Christian who calls themselves born again, whether they realize it or not, Paul says, do you not know? Do you not know that you were crucified, buried, and raised with him, that you can walk in newness of life now? And I believe that these scholars who are very much experts in many regards in other areas, what they're doing is they're trying to describe, okay, I've got dirty thoughts, I've got lustful thoughts,
right.
I've got sinful thoughts coming at me. So where is it coming from? It must be the bad me. So there's a good me and a bad me. Well, there's a better biblical explanation, and that is, I'm still getting my mind renewed, and so there are old thoughts, old patterns, old habits called the flesh, and I'm not supposed to walk by the flesh. I can walk by the Spirit, but I am not the flesh, and I want to say this twice. I am not the flesh. I am a child of God. I am not the power of sin. I am a child of God. So let's recognize our opponent. Let's recognize the source of those thoughts. Let's say no to those thoughts. Let's realize this is a battle. It's a struggle, but it's not a civil war. It's not the good me versus the bad me. It's not half of me versus the other half. It is the power of sin coming against me. And it is the flesh, which is that old way of thinking. And I can say no to the flesh. And when I do, I'm saying yes to who I really am, to who God made me, to the new creation, the new self. There are not two people inside of you. And when we realize that, you know, Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so we need to know that we're not a house divided. And Bob, when we recognize our new identity in Christ, that we are a new creation on God's team, working together with Him, in Him, Him in us, I mean, that is a big deal.
Yes, it is. And Andrew, as you were talking, and Melissa, you know, if you think you have two different natures, here's how it works out practically. You're going to spend a lot more time trying to control that bad nature, that sin nature.
Right.
And your focus is going to be on that sin instead of on Jesus Christ. So when you come to grips with the fact that you're simply a child of God with one nature that has now been tuned to Christ, you can keep your eyes on Him, and you're going to practically, see in your day-to-day experience an abundance of the fruit of His life being expressed in and through you.
I agree, and that's why I left the class, because it seemed like they were trying to keep us feeling defeated in that old nature of the flesh by saying, well, you're always going to have to, you know, fight it. You're always going to have to deal with it. And I mean, I understand that, you know, we do have to recognize in order to overcome, but it seemed like it was just keeping us in that more defeated, you know, mentality. Like we're always going to have to be defeated.
Yeah. Andrew, we've talked a lot about the fact, what's the goal of the Christian life? And so many people think of it in terms to stop sinning. I need to clean up the flesh, but it's really just to simply start walking by faith, to trust what Christ has done as far as His work in taking away our sins once and for all, and trust the fact that He's alive, living in us, and is doing His work in and through us. And if we'll just get that in our minds, that all God wants of us is to simply trust Jesus, then I think we're going to be A-okay.
Yeah, you know, I want to put it in terms of a default setting. I mean, think about a computer. When you go buy a brand new computer at the store and you bring it home, it's got certain default settings that are set by the factory. And the Bible says that we were slaves of sin. So that was our default setting. Before we met Jesus, we were slaves of sin. We had one nature. It was a sinful, spiritual nature. And we were in the flesh, and we were of the world, and we were children of wrath, and that was our default setting. Well, what does the Bible say now? It says that we are slaves of righteousness. So think about that terminology there. If we wake up every day saying, I am harnessed to righteousness, I'm connected to righteousness, righteousness. I'm fused to Jesus. I'm a slave of righteousness. Well, what we're saying is we've got a new default setting, and now sin is weird. Righteousness is the new normal, and sin is weird. And when we adopt that mentality, we are really in line with God's counsel for us. And anything else, you know, is you keep hearing I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and you're going to act like it. You keep hearing I'm half good, half bad, and we're going to act like it. What we need to hear is that we're slaves of righteousness.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, thanks for your call today, and we hope that was an encouragement to you. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It will really, I think, anchor you deep into this new creation that you are in Jesus Christ. So you hold the line, and we'll get that information and get that book to you. Thanks for your call, Melissa.
And I think anyone would benefit from reading Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, if you don't have your copy of it, you can get one today by going to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage there, basicgospel.net, and Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by my friend Bob Christopher.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have this question from Christina, who is watching us on Facebook, and I think it's in a follow-up to what Melissa was saying. Her question is this: is spiritual warfare real? How would we know if we are under attack? And I think that's something the Bible certainly talks about, Andrew. So what is spiritual warfare, and how do we deal with it?
Well, certainly it's real, and we're told that these fiery darts come at us. Now, linking the last question to this one, notice that the fiery darts are not coming from us. They're coming from the outside toward us. And as Paul talks about in Ephesians, he says there's the devil's schemes, that there is something we can do about it. And that is putting on the full armor of God. And you say, well, I don't know if I have 90 seconds to spit out all those terminologies concerning the pieces of armor and all. Look, the armor of God is Jesus, and we need to know that. The breastplate of righteousness means that there's going to be an attack on your righteousness. And Jesus is that breastplate, that protection, because the truth is you have a new heart and you are righteous. There's attacks on our salvation. Maybe you didn't really get saved. Maybe you're not really committed enough. Maybe you lost your salvation. Maybe God is mad at you. And so the enemy tries to hit us in the head. And that's why we have the helmet of salvation, which is another analogy or picture concerning Christ and how he is our defense, that I am saved because of what he did, not because of my commitment, because of his commitment, not because of my dedication, but because of his. And so again and again, we see that there is a battle that we're in. Now, the attacks are coming from the outside, and we need to recognize there is an enemy, but the enemy is not us. And in fact, we're on God's team, as we were saying, and the counsel of God's Spirit, the coaching of our Father, is constantly going to be, hey, you're safe, you're okay, you're righteous, you're forgiven, you're in me, you're raised and seated, you're sealed up by the Holy Spirit, you are enveloped with Christ in God. We need to know how safe and secure we are, because the enemy is all bark and no bite, and what he has to offer is accusation and temptation. And over and over and over, you know, the Bible says that young believers can succumb to the condemnation of the enemy because they don't know any better. They're so used to being measured and found wanting and failing and being beat up about it that when they come to Christ, they don't know just how good God really is. And so, Bob, we are growing in God's goodness. And as we see his forgiveness and the gift of righteousness, you know, resting in that, that is our defense against these attacks.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Allen, Texas, and talk to Cameron listening to us on the Word today. Hi, Cameron.
How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I mean, y'all pretty much said a lot of amazing things with doubt of salvation and everything. Man, I just, being a new creation in God, I want to understand why we as believers still struggle with things. Like, things I struggle with is temptation and anger. I'm a new creation. why do I still struggle with things? Because that makes me doubt my salvation, makes me even think I've lost my salvation. How do I have more joy, I guess is what I'm saying. How do I get over feeling defeated, and how do I overcome temptation and anger? I know it's a slow process, but how do those things, what can I do for those?
Cameron, great question.
Sorry, I don't know what to ask. I love listening to you guys, and you guys have really, really great knowledge. So.
Well, Cameron, I think you've just expressed what all of us go through at various times in life. We get mad at ourselves because we keep choosing the wrong things to do instead of trusting the Lord, and we self-condemn and all of that, and then we get mad at ourselves, and so it becomes this vicious cycle. And how do we break free? How do we get out of this? And before we dive into your question, Cameron, I want to point you to our YouTube channel as well, because we actually have a video that answers that. How do I overcome anger? So that may be helpful to you. But Andrew, what does the Bible say about how to deal with these things and overcome those feelings of anger, those feelings of guilt? How do we learn to renounce the worldly temptations that Satan throws at us?
Yeah, well, first I would say this, that we need to know that we're not unusual, that James tells us that we all stumble in many ways. So the idea that there's a Christian out there who's just constantly victorious in their performance, that is a mirage. That is a fantasy. And so we need to know we're not unusual. The enemy is happy to tempt any and all of us. And then the other thing is, we're getting our minds renewed. So because we're in a process of learning and growing, I have to wake up every day and say, Lord, I'm not grown up yet. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And so I have freedom to fail here. I have permission because of your grace. I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to fail. But Hebrews 10:2 tells us something incredible. It says that the Old Testament folks did not have this incredible sacrifice that we have, and if they had it, they would have no longer felt guilty for their sins. And I love Hebrews 10:2 because it flies in the face of a lot of religiosity. They tell us we need to feel dirty, we need to feel distant, we need to feel guilty, and God is saying, no, because of the once for all, you don't need to feel guilty for your sins anymore. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're running around choosing guilt, then you're going to act like it. You're going to act like a dirty, guilty person. But if you're running around choosing forgiveness, recognizing the work of the cross, recognizing the value of Jesus's blood, then you're going to act like a clean and forgiven and righteous person. So I would just encourage you, know the forgiveness of God, know His love, be focused on the good news of the gospel, not the accusation of the enemy. Your struggle is so very normal. It is our struggle. It is everyone's struggle. But the answer is always the cross, knowing that what Jesus Christ did is enough.
Does that help, Cameron?
Amen. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it really, I guess the reason why all that, I guess, is hitting my mind is because I struggle to feel loved. And I grew up in a very abusive home. I never had a dad. So I guess that's where the anger and doubt and all that accumulated. So I guess I struggle with feeling loved by God. So, it helps me, honestly.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on hold. I want to send you some resources that'll drive you deeper into the finished work of Jesus Christ and the reality of His resurrection. I want to send you a book, and then I want you to get all the information about our YouTube channel. There are several videos there that just speak to the things that you have just talked about. So, Cameron, you hang on, and we'll get all that information to you, my friend. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Interesting that we had a call earlier from Hector who had similar questions concerning Hebrews 10:1-2. So, Hector, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you as well. And, friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and we always will welcome your call. Again, that's That number, 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate the love and prayers and support of everyone who helps us keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. And with your gift this month, we want to send you the new CD series, It Is Finished, by Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.